TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Well, it's not Mackie and Judd. It's actually Conduits of Trouble time, which means Chip Scoggins, my buddy from the Star Tribune, joins us. Chip Scoggins, what's going on, man?
What's happening?
A lot, actually. I'm doing good because there's a lot happening, which makes me extremely happy considering the alternative of about 6 months back. So
that's right.
Let's start Vikings-wise, my good man. Let's start on the Vikings. Give me your assessment of how disappointing you think the 7-9 2020 season was for the Vikings. And give me your assessment of where you think this franchise is at as far as what the expectation should be for 2021.
I think it's a big disappointment. You know, if you were, let's give it a letter grade, right? A D, probably, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, this is...
Absolutely.
It was, you know, when they came into the season, what were they telling us? This is, you know, they're going to keep chugging along, and you're coming off of being a Final Four team in the NFC the year before. And now some of this stuff was out of their control, obviously, with the injuries and opt-outs and those type things. But, it, you know, it's hard to feel... It's weird, though, Judd. I'm going to say it's hard to feel good about this season, but then you see Dalvin, you see Justin Jefferson. There were some definite bright spots that were encouraging, obviously. So looking ahead to next year, I think it's a win or else year for this regime, don't you? I mean, I don't think...
I think it definitely is for Mike.
I think it has to be for the GM, too. I mean, to me, they're still a package, Judd, and if they don't make the playoffs next year, that will be three times in 4 years that they miss the playoffs. I think anything short of that, you're going to see a complete regime change.
Do you think it goes far enough to say that they have to win a playoff game? Because I think a playoff berth saves them. I'm not positive, though. I'm not going to be surprised if, at least internally and very quietly, the edict is that they have to win a playoff game.
Well, I'll say this. I think getting to the playoffs is a minimum standard, right?
Sure.
Now, if you get there and you're the last seed and you get beat by 30, they're gonna, you could see that, you know, just saying, okay, this is not good enough, you know. If you're, you know... I guess it depends on what happens in the playoffs. I think at a very bare minimum, they have to get there, or you're going to see a complete overhaul. But even if they got there and they had one of their typical flameouts where they just get hammered, I think that would be enough to push them. And Joe, so we know the Wilts are patient, right? We know they like continuity. They have a lot of faith and trust in the people they put there. But there has to be some level and patience growing inside there, right? I mean, if you're the owners, don't you? And I wrote this, and I felt like when Zimmer said that thing at the end of his press conference the other day after the game, where 7-9 might be the best we could do, I totally felt like that was directed to the owners.
Well, and it what frustrated me about that quote, and I wasn't surprised by it, but what frustrated me about it too, though, was it so flew in the face of what they've been saying all year long.
No excuses,
No excuses, we're good. I felt like the no excuses narrative pivoted after the Saints game when Mike started in with, I don't have my guys, which, by the way, is not entirely true. A lot of those guys on defense who failed were your guys. Now, they weren't the starters, I get that. But I felt like that Saints game was such a debacle and was so bad that Mike went from basically saying, no excuses, I can coach this defense up, blah, 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 to, okay, you know what? I've got to have at least a reason here why we get surrendered, 55 points in that game.
Do you think it's because it was his defense and that's his pride and joy and it was getting embarrassed like that on national stage?
If that had been an offensive meltdown like we saw from the defense, Gary Kubiak would have had tire tracks from the bus on his back.
Yeah.
Mike would have sold Gary out so hard it would have made our heads spin.
Would he ever do that with Kubiak, though?
I don't know. I don't know, but he would have ripped somebody.
He would have found someone. It would have been
Kirk.
Quarterback, or yeah, I'm guessing it'd be the quarterback probably. So if they lose Kubiak, which I'm guessing you brought that up to me on this podcast, what, a month ago or 3 weeks ago, where we were talking about Kubiak, and you said if, because you must have had an inclination or gut feeling, or
I think he might source. Be. I think the job he took, I think the offensive advisor job was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The OC job, he's 59, health problems, right?
Yeah.
That is a
grind. Done in a long time.
And that's a grind. And Mike, look, he might like Mike personally, but Mike strikes me as the type of boss who would grind you into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I said from day one, Gary, if he's the OC, he's going to spend a year doing this and be worn out, and he doesn't need it. I'm sure he's got enough, you know, cash in the bank. He's got the farm, I think, in Texas. Like, does he really need the aggravation?
Well, and that's the other thing is, like, when you go somewhere and you, like, you want to be an advisor or kind of, you know, like a, you know, just a trusted voice, that's a whole lot different than, hey, you got to grind out, be the offense coordinator and watch film and do all these things. I mean, imagine the work hours that his and stress level.
Oh,
yes. From being an advisor to Stefanski to, and I'm not saying he, you know, parachuted in three hours a week, but you're right. He probably just said, you know what, this wasn't what I signed up for, not really what I want to do long term. But don't you think he's going to put a big word in for his son to get it?
So here's my guess. My guess is that Gary might agree to stick around and advise again if Clint gets the job.
That would be my guess, too. That would be my
that
guess.
That makes some sense.
And I'm torn on it, you know, because if next year is a make or break for Zimmer, does he really want to go outside with somebody he doesn't know? And he, you know, he likes the offense. He made that clear. He likes, you know, just the whole scheme and everything they're doing. So why wouldn't you just have somebody on your staff, you know? So I if I was going to lay money down, I would put it on Clint getting it.
Yeah, that's what,
going outside again. I can't see Zimmer doing it at this point.
Well, and Mike, at this point too, what young potential OC with lots of new ideas, right, Chip? Like, I got a lot of new ideas. What? Who's going to take the job? Like that? That's Mike to me is probably in a day-to-day situation, pretty hands off as far as offensive coaching goes.
Yeah.
But his thumbprints or his footprints are all over the mandate, right? That we run the football, and that's what we do. I mean, you know, God bless Flip. DeFilippo never had a chance. He never had a chance. He came here with all of these ideas about Kirk and shotgun, and we're going to move the ball, and we're going to pass the ball. And his ideas were probably very much suited for these times. And he didn't last the whole season. So who's going to, like, what young up-and-coming OC type is going to be like, you know where I'd like to work? Minnesota for Mike Zimmer.
That progressive. Would that be like an automatic disqualification in the interview process? It's like an assembly line. Young guy comes in there, I got all these great ideas. Here they are.
Yep.
Next. Just drop all these great ideas. You're going to love it. Next.
They just drop right through the floor.
I want to run the ball. There's my guy right there.
How many times? All the time. You got Dalvin Cook.
As much as Dalvin can run it. 35. There's my guy.
More higher. Higher. Let's get the touches higher.
Yeah, it's you know what's funny? And we talked about this I think a couple podcasts ago. And I looked it up. So Cousins was 16th, I believe, in number of pass attempts this year. And, you know, he finally finished. The offense was, what, fourth overall in yards. I think they were 11th in points. And so it was a good offense. And you know, Zimmer talked about it being the most explosive offense he's ever had.
Because it ran all the time. That was the biggest bunch of BS.
But there's a lot more you can squeeze from this, I feel like. You know, I mean, it's like if you took.
Yeah, your column was right.
If you took, what, 40 carries off of Dalvin and maybe in 50 and put him on the, it's not like you're asking him to Kirk to be the number one, you know, have the most attempts in the league. But if he got in the top 10, I don't think you know, the empire is not going to crumble if he throws the ball a little bit more, especially because Judge had two star wide receivers,
yes,
and two tight ends that look like they have the potential to be really good.
Yes.
You know, that Conklin, I think, is a budding really good player, and I think Irv Smith can, you know, handle himself in the pass game. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of shift in that, and if they come to the realization it's like, hey, we cannot run Dalvin, you know, 32 times a game.
Okay.
I'm not holding my breath.
I was going to say, place your bet right now. How much are you putting on the fact that the 2021 Vikings offensive philosophy does shift or morph?
A dollar.
Exactly.
So, okay, here it is. What is the odds that Dalvin has more carries next year? What are the odds that Kirk has more pass attempts next year? See, I think it has to be, you have to see one come down and one go up. I really do. Or I don't think it's going to work. Can Dalvin do this again?
No, in fact, I think he's going to get hurt. Because basically after years like this, history tells us McCaffrey, the guys get hurt. I will be very surprised if Cook plays 15 games.
Mm.
I'll be shocked if he plays 16. Chip, they at every turn, they wore him down. And the shame of the entire thing is they did that ultimately at 7-9.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the shame of this for Dalvin.
And, after that stretch of what was like four games, starting with the Green Bay one, where he just, basically carried
the post-bye, the post-bye week, yes.
The post-bye. There were a couple games there, and it might have been, Carolina or whoever it was, where he just didn't look right. It was after he took those big hits against Dallas, and then next week he got lit up pretty good too, and it's just like he just didn't. But then he had, later in the season, he looked like he had a little burst to him. But overall, you wonder what the effect is going to be when he comes back next year.
Yes.
And is there going to be, hamstring in issues or anything like that? So, I don't know. To think that they can just duplicate like that was good enough on offense.
Yep.
I just think that's wrong. Right. You have to look at like game management in the last couple of minutes.
And Justin Jefferson on a weekly basis, has to be more involved.
Yeah, I agree. But did you listen to Zimmer's
post-mortem
conference on Tuesday, the post-mortem? Did he sound like a guy that was going to change?
Hell no, he's not going to.
He said this was really, really explosive offense.
He said, yes. You would have thought that he was Don Bleepin' Coryell in 1983, the way he was talking. First of all, scoring-wise, it is not one, not two. It is the third best, and that's the stat that ultimately matters. The third best scoring offense that he's had since he took the job in 2014, So it was
11th in the league, so it's not like they were, top 10 even.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, no, he does not. But I'm telling you, the problem, too, is this. We are probably not after next year. I would bet it would be after Justin Jefferson's third year. If he is used like he has been used as a rookie, which he was marvelous. I give him credit for that. He is going to come to the same conclusion Stephon Diggs did, which is, what are you doing here exactly?
Yeah.
And I don't blame him.
And I agree with you, because you look at his catches. He set records, yards and catches. And so people are like, well, why would you complain? But it almost was like how you got to those numbers that were baffling sometimes. Like just, not throwing it to him in the first half or getting like two targets. It's like, what? He should have like 10 in the first half, establish him. And then so that's where I think the frustration comes in. And, people might think that's nitpicking, but I don't think it is. I think it's almost like there's as much consternation. I wrote this. There's almost as much consternation with the offense as there was the defense this year.
Because the components offensively were in place, and they didn't maximize them. Like, at least The defense lost people, right?
Like, you knew what the
deal and you was knew there. Exactly yeah. Right. I think we, if you watched the Vikings on a weekly basis, offensively, I think mm-hmm. I think what you saw was this unbelievable potential. In fact, I will give you a down and distance, okay? In 2021, in which Justin Jefferson needs to see the ball more, and I will give you exactly how. All right. Second down and short. Mm-hmm.
Second and three,
where the Vikings, which is a wide open down and distance. Like, you've got everything at your disposal, right? And mm-hmm. the Vikings run. Okay. That's the play, and Kirk can make this throw. And I'm not saying it won't get picked off, because it will sometimes. But that is the down in the distance on which you need to have Jefferson run that nine route and take your shots.
I would say, I think, and I believe I read this, weren't they among the top, you know, one or two, three teams in runs on second and short and second and long?
Yes, they were.
So it's like that, like, if you're Zimmer and whoever, Kubiak, whichever, you know, when it is, don't you have to, like, look at that stat and say, okay, how can we change that?
No, because the head coach is like, I love that stat.
Yeah, second, third, we'll just run down, and then we'll get a new fresh set of downs.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's where you take your chances. So, it just felt like they left a lot on the table there, even when they had a good, a strong showing offensively. But it's just, when you have that kind of talent, you feel like you should be able to get more out of it.
Yeah, and I think the Vikings are deceiving statistically, Chip, because when you look at the cumulative stats, they're pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the eye test of watching them tells you and me and the fans there's a lot more there. And it's frustrating, too, because it's not like if the Vikings started to operate offensively like we all believe that they probably should, it's not as if they would be going outside the box and you were like, oh, my God, they're being innovative.
It's not going to be the Chiefs.
Right. Yeah. They'd be doing things that a lot of teams do. And that's, yeah. I think that's the frustrating thing. Because on second and 14, when you hand the ball to Dalvin, it just makes you go, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I agree. You bringing Reese back?
Okay, he's due about $5 million, I think, 3 days into the new league year in March. So we'll know very quickly.
He was your best offensive lineman.
I look to restructure, but here's the problem. Is he going to be like, yeah, I will, or bleep you? The one thing is, they cut him, they basically said, take a pay cut or you're gone, at a time where he had no chance to find a job.
Yeah.
And he then came back and had a really nice year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if he's going to say, hold on a second here. You absolutely screwed me, because they did, and now I'm expected to be a good employee.
I agree with that, and remember, he actually took like a day or two, right? That he wasn't there.
Yes, we thought he would.
Here's the thing, Judd. Isn't he the kind of quintessential guy that if that salary cap goes down, the veterans get squeezed, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Like in his spot, where you think, okay, maybe there's a big payday, or like a Eric Wilson, like, is the money going to be there for guys that think they're going to get a better deal elsewhere? I don't know. That actually might work in the Vikings' favor. That
good point.
You know, I think teams are going to have to go a lot younger. Don't you think if the salary cap goes down like significantly, you're going to see a lot of veterans on the street looking for jobs?
Yes. Yes.
And so
yes, that's
you
true.
Know, he might be willing to say, you know what, I know this place, I'll do one more year here before I retire or whatever. And it's just from a practical standpoint, he was their best lineman this year.
No, you're right about that.
And then what do you do with Cleveland? Good. No, do you keep him at guard?
Yes, then I do for sure.
And then
you've got to find a left guard.
Dozier's obviously gone. I mean, he's going to be gone. I would be inclined to look at center too. I would. I know you're not there yet, but I don't know.
Hey, in your mind, is Bradberry a bust?
Well, I don't know if I'd say bust, because he's a starter. I mean, to me, a bust is a guy who you can't put on the field or on a court, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's – has he lived up to first-round expectations? No. I mean, I think he's a good run blocker, but you see too many times where he just gets shoved back into the backfield and, the pocket just collapsed from inside. So is that going to get better next year? I mean, just
– It's a problem, too.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
With that quarterback, it's a big problem.
Now, if he has a really good left guard or guard beside him, is that, will that help? You know, maybe some, but I don't know. I mean, they're not going to. They're not going to switch gears now at center. I don't think.
No.
I'd be shocked.
Oh no, 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 no.
It's not reassuring the way he played. I don't think. So they'll probably, if they bring Reeves back, I think they'll just make one. They'll just have one switch along the line, right?
Yeah. Hey, what on earth do you think that, as a whole, the Vikings were thinking when they allowed and had Dakota Dozier start 16 games? Like, what possesses Mike, what expects to be a competitive team? What the hell would possess them to think? And look, he's a backup, which is fine, but I think he started something like 4 games in 2019.
Yeah,
so they saw him play. Like, there was never anything that we saw that to me indicated that if he started, it was going to be fine.
I guess my answer would be, like, what were the options, and did they have the financial wiggle room to upgrade that? Or were they just like, we have no money. This is what we have to do. You know, I don't know. It might be both of those. Or it might just be a complete miscalculation on their part. You know, maybe they just misjudged them.
But I mean, he can't. He literally, like, he couldn't do that job. He just can't.
No. Well, he thought to me it was going to be a guard.
Yeah, well, that's a frightening thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, Judd, 100% no doubt you got to draft an offensive guard in the first round.
Ooh, first round?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. What's the class like? Do you know?
Well, I'm guessing you're going to get one of the top one or two at where they're picking, you know? I mean, is there going to be more than that going first 14 pick? What are they picking, 15th?
14th.
So you're probably going to get the best guy, you know, I would think. That or a three technique.
That's what I think. That's what Mike is going to push for.
I would
the three technique.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, their biggest issues are both lines this year. Now, obviously, getting Daniil and Pierce back. In theory, I'll say in theory.
Yeah.
I mean, I worry less about Hunter. I think, you know, I would assume that's not anything of real detriment long term to his career. Now, Pierce, we have no idea like how good he is.
Yeah, but Chipper, I'm telling you, that Ian Rappaport report from a few months back on Hunter, I think, is exactly right. I think he's going to come asking for a huge contract.
Well, I don't
coming off a
that.
Neck problem, and that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, well, that's but those things get settled, right? I mean, there's always
there's Stephon Diggs.
Even Dalvin, we thought, oh my God, they're going to let him play it out, but that got solved. I mean, there's no way they're going to let Daniil Hunter walk out because they don't want to pay him money, you know?
Yeah, I just don't think he's going. I don't think because his contract is so poor and he has, I think, 3 years left, I don't think he'll show up for training camp without one.
That would not surprise me, you know? What was I going to say? It's just a tweak. It's a tweak.
Well, and they'll downplay it, but
we got to tweak that contract.
Yeah.
But I think they're not, you know, there's no way they're going to lose Daniil Hunter because of that. But the other, you know, but okay, so you get him and Pierce back. They need two other starters along there, correct?
Correct.
I mean, you got to have another new three technique. So I think it would be defensive tackle or a offensive guard with that first pick. And they're going to need more corners and linebacker. You know, we'll see what happens with their linebackers if they stay. At a minimum, Barr, if he's coming back, he's going to have to take a massive pay cut. But I think I would just move on at this point, probably.
And bring back Wilson?
Yeah, because I don't think he's going to get as big a deal as he probably thought.
No.
I don't think there's going to be money there, and I don't think he played well at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, when he's like, the, you know, the game he played out in Seattle after he first took over for Barr, I mean, he was like making splash plays, but he kind of definitely leveled off and didn't play as well down the end of the stretch. So the idea that he's going to get some massive contract, I don't see that.
So your corners are Gladney, Dantzler, and I don't know about Hughes. Like this neck thing now.
Count on him. You can't count on him.
Back to back years. I'm concerned about that one.
Yeah, I think he's your fourth guy. I think what I would try to do is find a veteran corner that gets cut because of the salary cap coming down.
You mean like they should have for 2020, like we all told them to?
Like we screamed at every time we talked.
My damn dog Stella's like, they're not signing a veteran corner? That's unbelievable.
I just think because I think teams are going to have to do some. I hadn't seen what the latest projections are.
190-ish, I think, now.
Down from what?
198.5, I think.
So let's say $10 million down.
Yeah, about 10.
That might cost a veteran his job, you know. That team just say, hey, we can't, there's just no money to pay this guy or whatever. So
yep.
I bet there's going to be some veterans that can still play that are more, you know, salary cap casualties and just not very good. So I would try to get a veteran to plug in there. And then you could have Hughes as your fourth guy, you know, and then, you know.
If he's back.
Boyd. Yeah, if he's back. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they're in position just to give up on him completely yet. Do you?
I'm saying I'm concerned about him playing because of the neck.
Yeah, well,
like it's back-to-back years with necks in this league. That's not good.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't cut him.
And he may come to realizations like, you know what? I'm looking at my long-term future. This isn't worth it, you know? I mean, you start talking about two neck injuries, and I mean, that gets scary. So, yeah, I see what you're saying there. Yeah, but if he's healthy and wants to play, I think you bring him back and just see if he can stay healthy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, so when Zim talks about my guys, right? Like, when I get Hunter back, when I get Kendricks back, when I get my guys back, how much are you buying that those guys being back and for right now, bar two, that those guys being back is simply going to fix this? Because I think it's a very dangerous assumption in this league to ever just assume that people coming back is going to fix things.
I agree. Now, they're obviously going to be better with those guys. I mean, I don't think anybody would say no, right? I mean, you're adding premier players back, but I don't think it's enough to just say we're good on offense, we'll get those guys back, let's roll, you know. I think that's dangerous, and it's a little bit too convenient to just think that, because there's a lot of things, like I think Daniil will be able to pick back up and play how he was playing, but we don't know that. Like, these guys are gonna be a year older too, right?
I mean, yes,
like,
and that's another
they're a year older. Pierce has been out of football for, when he plays his first football game, how many months will it be since he played his last football game? I mean, that's a year and a half, right? So, I mean, what kind of shape is he going to be in? Is there rust? Is there, you know, those type of things? So I don't think yes, I think it'll be better, but I don't think it's just like going to be a light switch. Like, all right, yeah, we're good now. We got everybody back. I
mean, yeah.
I think
top five again.
Yeah. I think that's way too simplistic and convenient to just expect that.
Yeah. And I don't think so. I do think that they're going to come back and be improved. Here's my problem. Yes. So to play the way that Mike wants to play and to have a legitimate chance to make a run at a championship, Chip, I think that you need to be in a position where you don't only come back defensively and play well, but you are, for instance, a top three defense. Like, you are lights out.
Boy, I don't see him getting there.
And that's exactly the problem. But this is not a slam on the offensive personnel, but it is a slam on how they run their schemes. I really think if you thought this through, that you should spend the next few months seeing that how you could transition this entire franchise to have the offense play a bigger role. And by that, I mean, trying to matriculate down the field when you're down by 17 points quicker than a basically quarter eating drive, right?
Well,
Mike can't do that. That's the problem.
Yeah, he's not going to reinvent who he is at this point. He's just not. So he's banking on that the offense is going to be as good or if not better next year, because you're going to have in theory, your line would be better, and you're going to have Jefferson, and these tight ends are going to be improved. So I think he's thinking, okay, we'll be better there, and get all my guys back on defense, and we're going to be better.
I know.
But I don't know that all of a sudden makes you a championship caliber team at all. You know, I mean, I still think there's you're right. The philosophy part of it,
yeah,
and the 2-minute part of it, and the game management part of it, the critical situation part of it. I mean, they just looked so. And a lot of that was offense time. I mean, we're not talking about just having, you know, Chris Jones playing cornerback there. I mean, this is
that drive in Tampa, third quarter drive in Tampa, where they moved
9 minutes.
they were down, I believe, by 17.
17 points, yeah.
Yeah, and they moved like they were up by 17. Let's eat clock. Why are you eating clock?
Yeah, well, because they don't. That's where, like, the game management stuff, like the 2-minute offenses where they just look so discombobulated, or let's throw it over the middle for 8 yards to the tight ends when we have no timeouts. It's like, gosh, come on now.
It's not a kick-ass offense, Chip.
No, it is not kick-ass. So I don't know. I mean, I do think. I think it's two things. I think it's way too convenient just to say, okay, Danielle Hunter's going to come riding in on a white horse and save us. I think they have to take a long, hard look at obviously both lines. I think they need to repair and then, just philosophy on this stuff.
You're right, because I think we're on the right track. But then you stop and think, is Mike going to adopt that? And your immediate thought is, no way, he just won't do it.
Yeah, I mean, who's the coach? Yeah, and that's not to say he's a bad coach, but it's just
it's not.
When you look at some of these innovative offenses that you're seeing now, and then you watch theirs and you just think, man, they have some just really special skill talent player. I mean, Jefferson's already a star. Dalvin's one of the, most dynamic players in the league. And I think Cousins is an accurate quarterback who has, obviously has definite weaknesses, but they can figure out how to accentuate, pull out more of his strengths. And I think I think those tight ends are going to be good, Judd. I think Conklin.
I agree.
Has a chance to be really good.
Yes. And Kyle's gone. So yes.
Yeah. He'll be gone. And Thielen still, I mean, heck, he had 14 touchdowns.
I know. You're preaching the choir. You're exactly right.
Like, there's more to squeeze out of that,
If you could get Kirk the proper protection,
yes.
That offense could be damn good.
Judd, if you look at his pre-buy and post-buy, what do we make of that?
We make of it back-to-back years at least of slow starts, which concerns me because he has been bad. And then it's almost like he gets off to these bad starts, and then I don't know if, like, the pressure dissipates or what, because you would think it wouldn't, that it would actually increase. But he starts to play looser and plays well. Now I will say that, again, having watched every game that they played this year, I will say this. Keep in mind, post-bye week, the first two games back, which was a Packers win in Green Bay and then the win against Detroit here, that Kirk Cousins averaged 17 passes per game in those.
True.
And Mike took the keys of the car away. That Falcons game was such a bad performance. And that became the Dalvin Cook show. So I do think it was interesting that they almost, and it's weird here, they almost restored Cousins' confidence by disabling him for a period of time to where it was almost like he felt, well, it's Dalvin's show, so if I can contribute. And then he came back strong after that.
Do you think his numbers and eye test tell you the same thing?
No. And I also don't think, and this is going to go down a weird path when I say it, because it's hard to quantify. I'm also much more concerned about the way he is wired mentally than his physical skills.
In terms of just the big game pressure stuff?
Just in terms of his approach as well, and the big game pressures. But it's very weird to me that they basically, in the two games after the bye, showed a lack of confidence in his ability, and it almost helped him. Like, that shouldn't be how pro athletes work. It's a very odd dynamic.
Should go the other way.
But I really think that Kirk. I really think that Kirk is a golly gee type of guy. I don't know that Kirk really has that next gear that I want my quarterback to have.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's a weird thing because it's impossible to quantify.
You can't quantify.
It's the psyche.
So it's hard to. it's hard to know, but it is just weird how you're right. Two just really bad, poor starts, and then fall by when everybody's giving up and you're ready to ship him out, and then he gets hot, and you're like, well, you know, he's not that bad. But for the money you're paying, and he's not the highest paid quarterback, so, you know, quarterbacks make a lot, but for the money he's getting, you know, we should be like beyond, yeah, it ain't that bad. You know, I mean, it should be way beyond that. So, but he's not their biggest issue right now, I don't think.
No, their defense definitely is.
Yeah. So, but it'll be interesting. There will be 100%, no doubt about it, a ton of pressure on them coming back next year. Because I think they have to know it, right, that it's going to be a win or else year. I mean, you can't just kind of.
Yep.
And there will be no excuses. You can't use the, you know, injuries and all that. I mean, because you can't have two back-to-back. If they do have a lot of injuries, I don't think people are going to care at that point. You know, or like, you know, we did that last year. That could happen in a year.
Correct.
So I don't think that's going to be an excuse anymore. So I really think it's going to be, you know, that's going to be the defining year, whether they go forward with them or do a complete change.
All right, my good man, the Timberwolves.
Are they still playing?
So, oh my God. And it's just.
A fun two-game season, wasn't it?
Look, anyone who does not get Fox Sports North on their streaming service right now is the lucky one, okay? Because I've watched this team play, and I will say this. Judging them without Kat is impossible, but these performances, like you are losing to Denver and celebrating the fact that you didn't get blown out. This is the NBA. You shouldn't be celebrating. Like, you shouldn't be like, well, you don't understand, but we are coming together in being defeated by 12 points as opposed to 36 points.
What was the quote from D-Lo the other day where we got to learn how to lose before we can lose?
Mackey was celebrating that quote. Yeah.
I read it. I had no idea what the hell he was talking about, but I don't think I'd want to learn how to lose first. I think I'd want to learn how to win, but that's just me.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I got to be honest with you, Judd. Game two. They play Utah. They're on fire. They played great. You saw defense was coming around. Cat was blocking shots. You know, Edwards, everybody's contributing. It's like, wait a second. I don't know how good they are, but they're entertaining, and this team might, you know, be more than what we thought. And that feels like season's over now. I mean, what, they lost five in a row, six in a row? They're sometimes they're unwatchable again. And, you know, they're clueless again defensively.
Oh.
They're back to just jacking up threes like it.
Yes,
I call it like when I coach my younger guys, I call it my turn offense. It's just like come down. It's like, all right, my turn. I'm gonna shoot it no matter what.
And you probably yell more than Saunders does.
Oh, I lose my mind. I go crazy. I'm like Bobby Knight on the sideline.
Saunders does. You whip a chair right across the court.
But
what are you doing?
Like it's just like I'm bored. I'm gonna shoot it this time down, no matter what's happening. It's like,
and they don't pass.
No, it's just like dribble down and jack up a three. It's like, this is awful.
It's not an offense.
No, it's not an offense. It's like I say, it's my turn. It's my turn to shoot. So I'm going to take a shot.
Yep.
And I know, obviously, Cat's the foundation cornerstone for everything they do. But, I mean, there has to be something else. I mean, if he's out, you can't just like pack it up and say.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, and you get. Yeah, exactly. You can't just be like, oh, too bad.
Yeah, we'll see in a month when he gets back or whenever he gets back.
And D-Lo to me is it's concerning because I don't.
There's not a I mean, there are a couple games where you're like it looked like AAU. Be honest with you, I'm going to take shots.
Jim Pete said that exact thing during the Clippers loss. That's exactly what Jim Pete said.
I mean, that's what it looked like. It's like I don't care if we win by 20, lose by 20. I'm just going to shoot. And now I don't think he was really going to be a huge part of their thing, but Rubio looks like he doesn't have any clue. Like
He looks old to me.
Yeah.
He looks old and worn down
fit with what they're doing right now. I mean, he just looks like he's trying to figure out Rubio. I mean, he's sitting back to the bench and he's trying to figure out like what his role is. So, I mean, they're a mess. It's an absolute mess, you know?
It's so true. I shouldn't laugh, but that's the best way to describe. They're a mess. And I don't know. I mean, Ryan's such a great guy, and we all agree that he's a great guy. But I don't know if he's the right coach for a team, because I don't know if he can push guy. I mean, I'm not asking for Tibbs too here, but I am. But I don't think that you can be buddies with the players. And I think that they do need a person who can at least mildly crack down. I don't expect them to win a ton without Cat. But I also expect the performances to look competent, and to what you said, and you're exactly right. And this goes back to, I believe, the column that you wrote before the season started. You know, you got to play some defense. That's effort.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Ryan, I asked him that question that week. I was like, you know, these guys are all saying the thing, we're going to be better defensively. Like, what's it going to take? And he said, you know, defense and integrity. And I love that. You know, yeah, you got to have the same integrity on defense as you do on offense. And it just ain't there, you know. I mean, it's and obviously when you take Cat out of the lineup, it changes dramatically. But you got to care about it, and too many times it just looks like it's not, you know, a real priority for some of those guys. And so, and that's what it, you're right. It's like nobody thought they were going to be good this year, right? But you just. You want to see more.
Well, you want to see, I think, in my opinion, what I'd like to see is signs of hope.
Exactly.
Like, oh man, okay, that's sort of working. They lost, but that's working. And and without Cat, it's just like it just looks hopeless.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you would want, if D'Lo wants to be a star and be that kind of, you know, looked at, that he figures out a way to kind of, you know, bring more to the table than what he's doing and galvanize the team if he can. And it's just, you know, he's having these extra sessions with the coaches, trying to figure out his role and picking the role. And it's just, I don't know. It just feels like it's.
And that's weird too. Like how was there not a better understanding of what his role was going to be?
Well, I think it's all predicated on him and Cat playing together, and they played, was it 3 games or 4 games together?
Yeah. They played 3 games total. Since the trade,
the whole thing was predicated on those two players.
But your point is absolutely dead on, Chip. I mean, you can't have Cat go out and be like, "Oh, we didn't have a backup plan."
Well, yeah, it's like all's lost, and you know, check back in a month when he's back, or yeah, I mean, it you got to be able to. And I know he's a great player, and every team that loses their best player would struggle. But I mean, this is beyond struggling, you know.
And meanwhile, Tibbs's Knicks, they're off to a solid start, and the Knicks fans love him. It works in the garden. That stuff works out east, man. Knicks fans love it.
Yeah.
Play a guy as much as you want, Tibbs. We don't care. RJ Barrett can play the entire game. We don't care.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, last thing. Gopher basketball, okay? Again, I need help. I need a lot of help, but I need help. On the explanation. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you look? And first of all, I'll preface this by saying there are no fans. So this is not a fan. How do you look so damn good in the 3 games at the barn? You beat Iowa, which was a really impressive win. Mm-hmm. You crush Michigan State, who you never beat. And then I believe they won by a 16 on Sunday against the Buckeyes. Really impressive. Yeah. All right. Then you go on the road. The Illini beat you by 27. The Badgers, I think, were up by 20 plus before you.
25.
Okay, 25. Before the Scrubs came in, and I think got it down to a 12-point differential by the end. Mm-hmm. And last night, you get drubbed by Michigan. How the hell do you explain the total difference in the scores of those games?
It is, I will say this. I looked up a stat today, Judd. In the 3 wins at home, points in the paint, they've given up 68. In the 3 losses on the road, points in the paint, they've given up 134. So twice as much. Now, you faced Coburn, Potter, and the big kid is a Dixon.
Yes, the freshman.
Last night, right? Who just, yeah.
He's a really good player.
And Garza had 32 when they played Iowa here. So they just struggle against those big, powerful guys. They're not physical enough. I think, when I was watching that game, I think Michigan's the best team in the Big Ten. When you look at the way they played defensively, they were all over.
Offense is questionable. The defense is great.
Their defense is really good. They're big, long, and they get up in you. And like, even those first, like that first half, I felt like was fool's gold. The Gophers were hanging around, but I was just like, they are not handling this pressure at all. I mean, they're just, this is not the type of team they're going to.
And Carr got hot and made, I think
he made two threes
and then disappeared after that.
But like, that is not a good matchup for Booth Gotch, who just, when it's physical,
your guy, Booth Gotch. I don't know. He's a Big Ten player.
Yeah. I think he's a Big Ten player against average to bad teams. But when you're
not an option.
But when you're facing like Michigan defense, I mean, like top 10 teams, you know, I think he disappears when it's physical and big and long. I just think he's not there yet. You know, that's tough for Gabe. It's tough, you know, Robin's battles, but you know, there are some huge, really good post players in this league. And
he got hurt last night too.
Yeah. And they just get overwhelmed physically. And so, now we'll say this, I think Michigan's clearly a top 10 team. I think they're the best team in the Big Ten. Wisconsin, I've seen them up and down, you know, okay. I mean, those were three of the best teams, right? I think you throw Iowa in there. So I think they're just probably an average Big Ten team, Judd, that, you know, they'll probably, you know, like Michigan State's not a great team. Ohio State, they're a good team. I mean, they're physical. I mean, it's not, you don't ever take it for granted that you're going to beat Michigan State. I don't think you just automatically assume it, but I just think they're, you know, when the Gophers are playing those really elite teams, they're not in that category, you know. And when they play good teams but not great teams, I think they're, you know, that's what they are. I think they're probably a good team but not a great team.
And all I want, Chip Scoggins, is just close road defeats. Like lose by 8.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
Not 27, not 25.
The getting out-hustled, like that would bug me, you know, and there was just not a whole lot of resistance defensively last night, where it just seemed like they kind of wilted and like, all right, we ain't winning this one. And then
they go away
and you're down by 35, you know.
If you punch them, they basically say, okay, we're done.
Yeah. I mean, they need more toughness for sure. Like I think Carr's tough and I think Brandon Johnson's tough. But you got to have more than two guys. And I think if it gets really, really physical and scrappy, it gets teams that are good. Now, Michigan, I really think Michigan's good.
Mm-hmm.
You would like to see more toughness and just resistance, like throw the punch back. And it's, you know, too often we've seen it just kind of caves in on them.
So, Coach, tell me this. How do you get, especially on the road, how do you get Carr more involved offensively when good defensive teams do try and take him away? Because if he's going, he's great. But it seems like teams, especially in the three defeats, have done a good job of focusing on him, and then he basically has disappeared.
Well, and I will go back to the Ohio State game. They absolutely were trying to take him out. If you looked at that high pick and roll, they were hedging hard on that, and it was a hard double team, and he had to swing it. And how many, you know, they made that extra pass, and I think Booth and a couple guys, you know, Gabe made a couple down there from the corner three where they made that extra pass. I mean, teams are really trapping him hard off that high pick and roll, and they're trying to get the ball out of his hands. And so they have to, one, they just got to make shots, too. You know, that's a big thing. But they got to make the extra pass. And I think too often, I don't know if it's panic or when the defense really gets on them and gets hard, there's just a, hey, let's just get the shot up. And they're taking bad shots and are just not as patient with their offense. Either not as patient or just not good enough because of the defensive pressure to get good shots in those situations. So that's something they're going to have to figure out, because I think you're seeing more and more teams are like, all right, if we can take Carr out of this equation, they don't have enough. So it's going to be on him to, you know, everybody's got to make that extra pass and you know, you got to be able to make shots. And too often on the road, they just had some clunkers where they just can't shoot, you know? So I think this is the formula that you're going to see the rest of the way, Judd. I mean, I think teams are just going to really especially on those high pick and rolls, they're going to really try to get the ball out of his hands.
Coach Scoggins, I love it.
There you go.
Been teed up?
I have never received a tee.
Oh.
I'm not that crazy.
This is so disappointing. Not once?
Not
once. I'd like to see you get one.
My coaching career is done, though. My kids are in high school. I'm done coaching.
Oh, are you retired now?
I'm retired. The whistle retired, yeah.
Oh, this is sad.
I know. It was a hard day that day. I'm not going to lie to you. I love coaching those kids. So it was, but I'm done. I'm just a spectator now.
Did you come close to getting teed up?
Come
on. You had to get mad an official once.
You know, I'm sure I definitely did, but, never were, I don't even know if I've gotten, maybe I've gotten a warning. I don't know. But I don't think I really get on the officials too much, get on my kids. But not the officials a whole lot. But never tee. I'm sure I came close though over the years. I'm sure
I would have liked to see you get at least one. I mean, just for fun.
Just throw it out of the gym. Just that parrot that just gets thrown out of the gym. You're out of here.
Oh my God. There's always one. There. Yep. Ordinarily, I think that probably trends more towards my sport hockey than basketball. But yeah, hockey parents are the greatest. They are absolutely certifiable. God, yeah.
Hey, before we go, were you like pumped for the World Juniors?
It was fantastic.
How big an upset was that? Give me in.
You know what? It's an upset, but it's not monumental because I believe that the U.S. has now beaten Canada in the gold medal game of the World Juniors four times.
Okay, I thought this was like a huge upset.
It is an upset, but it's not enormous.
It's not something we don't ever.
And
see.
The U.S. is damn good, my man. That program is really good, but that. That was fun. And here's the thing that I'm most excited about. I'm tempering my excitement a bit because I've gone down this path previously and been disappointed. But that Matt Boldy, who Fenton picked with the 12th pick in 2019, that kid can play. And he's got size and he's got skill and he is not afraid to go to the front of the net. He's got a body that I could see him being on the roster opening night of next year. So 2021-22.
Did we have this conversation about, 8 years ago about Charlie Cole?
That's why I'm tempering my expectations. We also probably had the exact same conversation about a guy that starred in the World Juniors when they won gold in Jordan Greenway. That's why I'm telling you.
I wrote that column from the Olympics. That column you probably did. Like I wrote it from the Olympics.
Hey, look, my man, you saw Mikhail Granlund play like he was one of the best players in the world at those games.
Yes. And I also saw.
And he just got a big pay reduction from the Preds to go back because, as far as a pro goes in this league, he's an okay player at best, I think.
And I also saw a little guy named Kirill Kaprizov at the Olympics slide him up.
And you saw him again yesterday, right?
I did see him. Yeah.
Didn't you go back out practice. And watch him play or watch
I
him
was
practice?
I was expecting him just kind of float when he came out on the ice. I thought he'd be floating. You know,
but?
Just like with smoke coming out. no, he looks definitely skilled. It'll be fun. I'm ready to call him on that, Judd. I'm writing my kickoff wild call.
I've always called you Mr. Puck. You know that.
That's right. I know.
Chip Scoggins, Mr. Puck. Thanks, dude. Talk to you next week, Chip Scoggins.
All right, brother.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Conduits of Trouble.